Hi everyone and welcome to the Affinity Finance podcast. I'm joined today with Sue Fox, who heads up the cost management team at A&M Bacon. Sue, welcome.
Hello, thank you for asking me.
Yes, thank you very much for joining us. So Sue's joining us today to share her knowledge of cost management following nearly a decade's worth of experience since the launch of the Jackson reforms and the pilot scheme prior to that. Sue's focusing on cost budgets, how to ensure that the costs associated with litigation remain on track, and the role that the budget plays in respect on payments on account, mediation, and avoiding detailed assessment. So Sue, we'll get straight into it. What do you say are the benefits of cost management? And if you were to choose only one benefit, what would that be?
Oh, that is an interesting question. Well, there are lots of benefits and choosing one is a difficult one. So apart from the fundamental reason why cost budgeting was introduced, which was to provide all parties with certainty in terms of what the litigation was going to cost, as well as control and manage that legal spend, then I found that it's probably how it assists with payments on account of costs. So just to expand on that a little bit, for those costs that have proceeded to trial, providing the court with an updated budget so that they're fully informed of the actual incurred costs in comparison to the budget that was approved, we found is a really, really strong benefit. That's because if the costs are under budget, then a large payment on account can be secured. And to ensure that, it's essential that the information is presented to the court in the best manner. Payments on account are requested when you've succeeded at trial, and it is CPR 44.28 that allows this, unless there isn't a good reason to do so. So prior to the introduction of cost management, the general rule of thumb was that parties achieved in the region of about 50% of their request for costs, and this was in line with a widely known case of Mars and does remain the case for non-budgeted matters. But an alternative approach has emerged in relation to those cost budgeted matters. And this is a real benefit because it does allow higher payments to be obtained for those claims which have had that cost management order. Because what the reason being is because the quantification of the payment on account is determined by analysing the approved cost budget. And that additional layer of information is really helpful for the courts. The emerging case law has revealed a real trend of securing roughly 70% of the incurred costs that was included in the budget and about 90% of the budgeted costs. The reason for these differing percentages is down to the incurred costs not actually having been scrutinised by the court. It's had no form of assessment, whereas the budgeted costs have been. They've been at a CMC, the court's required to assess what's reasonable and proportionate to allow. So there are several cases that have come about that have adopted this approach, and we're therefore seeing that this is becoming real common practice across the courts. One of the cases is a Cleveland Bridge versus Sarens, which was a TCC matter. That was back in 2018. And then we've seen some further cases, with the latest one being Piharic and Silver Bond, which was a High Court matter, which was heard earlier this year. And it's good to see that the cases are building on that trend, so we can see the actual trend happening rather than just relying on that one case law. In both of those cases, the court analysed the incurred costs separately to those budgeted costs when assessing the amount to allow for the payment on account of costs. What they had recognised was that, as I'd alluded to earlier, that the incurred costs included in the cost budget had not been subject to any form of assessment. And because of that, in both cases, the court allowed that 70% of incurred costs and then 90% of the budgeted costs. So you can see there how the budget has really increased the payment on accounts of costs significantly from that 50% that had been historically allowed. And that's why it's really important to be able to present that information in the best manner to secure that highest amount.
Absolutely. No, it sounds like the most sensible thing to do going forward. It's good to see that trend changing. So when assessing the amount of any payment on the account of costs, why is the budget so important in this determination?
Well, it's because the court's not allowed to depart from the last approved budget unless a good reason can be shown. If a good reason can be shown, then they can depart either upwards or downwards. So this then opens the court up to departing from the cost budget. Consequently, therefore, to secure the maximum payment on account, be ready to defend any of those good reasons that your opponent may raise. So they, conversely, if you actually want to reduce the payment on account that your opponents may be securing, then it's beneficial to do an analysis to identify any good reason to depart from your opponent's cost budget downwards. An example of a good reason to depart from a budget is when the full amount of a particular phase within the cost budget has not been fully incurred. It might be that your opponent has come with £50,000 for the expert phase and they've said there's £50,000 in the budget. You will want to know whether they've spent that full £50,000. It may well be that they've only spent £35,000 and therefore the payment on account should be determined on the lower amount.
Definitely. It seems important to be able to check that. We all know how labour-intensive litigation can be, particularly in the run-up to trial. How would you recommend pulling this costs information together quickly?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Well, we recommend monitoring the budget throughout the lifetime of the claim, because what this does is it allows you to quickly identify the up-to-date cost position. This assists for a number of reasons. But in this instance, it allows quick identification of the cost that's required to support and maximise that request for payment on account. It's a very busy time in the lead up to trial. So to have that information to hand as you go throughout the claim is really, really helpful and beneficial. The cost associated with monitoring the budget is also recoverable from the opponent. This forms part of the 2% of the approved budget that is allowed in terms of cost management. So the court certainly expects monitoring to play a really large part of the litigation. So it is essential.
Definitely. Well, yes, it sounds like it's so important to keep a track of that throughout the claim and it will make it much quicker to pull together at the end. So, Sue, do you find that securing a high payment on account has any impact on how quickly the claim for costs is determined?
Oh, absolutely. We see much quicker resolution and settlement of costs when the budget's being used to support a request for payment on account. That's usually because the lion's share of the cost has already been paid and therefore that leaves little costs to negotiate. So it really is a powerful exercise.
And so we can see how this assists with the payment on account. Are there any other reasons to track the budget?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I'll expand upon that. So by keeping the budget up to date, this allows cost information to be readily available for any WP without prejudice meetings or mediation. And this is a real benefit, particularly in light of the recent Civil Justice Council's report exploring compulsory ADR. We've seen swift resolution of costs when we provide that updated budget at any sort of settlement meeting. An additional benefit is that, which is a really essential one, is keeping the client's expectations managed. They can be advised of any potential overspends, and then they can make a decision regarding their legal spend and how they want to progress the claim. And we're finding that our litigators' clients are actually wanting this sort of information. And of course, monitoring the budget does enable a quick application to revise the budget to be made if you've had any significant development in the litigation. So you can see there that this process has lots of benefits and real benefit to the litigation.
Yeah, that's really insightful. And this increased awareness regarding the cost of litigation really is multifaceted. But in terms of tracking the budget, what are the requirements in that regard? I noticed that your focus has been very much on having this information ready to hand.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it really is multifaceted. That's an excellent way of explaining it. And once the information has been gathered, it's often required for a number of things. So in answer to your question regarding tracking the budget and why the rush, well, the CPR has recently changed and a new requirement has now been introduced. Parties must now revise their budget promptly. As previously, the rules were silent in regards to timings, and this latest change is an important one and why monitoring the budget is essential. If there's any delay in revising the budget, then now there's a real risk that the court will refuse to revise the budget. Before this rule change, parties could actually agree between themselves any revisions and then notify the court of the same, and that position has now changed. The court wants to be more involved with actually managing the claims, and they now have to review any decision revision. So if the court doesn't consider that the request to revise the budget was made promptly, then the request for that additional monies will be disallowed. You'd then find yourself in a position whereby a whole raft of costs can't be recovered from the opponent in the event of success. Not only does this application need to be made promptly, it's now a mandatory requirement if a significant development in the litigation has occurred. What isn't set out in the CPR are examples of a significant development, and this is really still down to the discretion of the court. But an example of one might be that an additional expert is required, and then that may have a knock-on effect on the other phases in your budget, and that's one example. Again, parties could previously agree to revise the budget simply because they both needed more money and a significant development may not have even occurred. This isn't the case anymore. If a significant development cannot be shown, then the revisions will not be allowed. So this tightening up of the rules has really highlighted the need not only to monitor the budget, but also for a well-scoped out budget with assumptions that does open up opportunities for revising that budget.
Well, it seems to me after listening to you today that this is something that should absolutely be being adopted by any firm running a case. It seems like it's going to give so much extra benefit, especially when coming to the end and securing the additional costs. So thank you so much for talking through this with me. It was brilliant to have you on, and hopefully we'll be able to have you back on again, Sue, on another topic.
You're very welcome, Joan. Thank you so much for inviting me along. It's been a great chat.
Absolutely. And for any of our listeners, if you want to get in contact with Sue or any of her team at AM Bacon, I will list their contact details in the bio attached to the podcast. So Sue, thank you so much. I really appreciate you joining me today.
Thank you, Joe.